Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. They are at Palillo and at Josh Jordan 975 on X. And in between our podcast episodes, you can read their blogs covering Houston Pro Sports on our flagship site, sportsmap.com. On today's episode, the Astros limp into the break, licking their wounds as the division lead shrinks with no signs of reinforcement in sight. Is it panic time? We'll react to some of the updates on that long list of IL members and look ahead to see what's next for Houston on the other side of the All-Star break. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. The All-Star break mercifully arrives for Houston, who have dropped five of their last six. The good news was in the midst of all the losing, Zach Short had another career highlight moment with his walk-off Saturday. The bad news is the pitching staff looks gassed, and without the stellar pitching, that AAA lineup is predictably getting exposed. I mentioned in the open, the division lead shrinks back to five after the Mariners sweep the Tigers. Hunter Brown, who's been a stopper for this team, had no control on Sunday as Velo looked down. He's surrendered 10 runs over his past two starts with an opponent OPS of 952. After Sunday's game, he said he wouldn't have changed anything and gave credit to the Rangers hitters for just hitting good pitches. Adolis did crush one that was well above the zone, but it sure felt like Brown was fighting himself all game long. So, gents, what were your thoughts on this Rangers series, Hunter Brown, and what's left of this Houston lineup?
Every series, every week should not be a full-blown referendum on the season, on the state of the team, and it's a good thing. You mentioned limped into the break, right? If you're only as good as your last week, well, then the Astros stink and they're going to collapse after the All-Star break. And it was a mirage winning 29 out of 39 games. No. Flight Hunter Brown was going to hit some turbulence somewhere along the way during the course of the season, unless he was going to have an all-time great season, right? Justin Verlander's 175. Roger Clemens's sub-2 season, another just awesome, awesome individual seasons. That's why they're all-time great seasons. Hunter Brown still having a hell of a season, the ERA ballooning all the way up to over 240. Now, I think there is cause for pause. You mentioned Brandon, last two starts, not good. His worst tandem of starts of the season. Is there a little bit of a dead arm, or is it just a bump in the road? It wasn't, I'm going to say, an odd choice or a bad choice to have him go on 4 days rest for only the second time all season in the Sunday game against the Rangers. You know, so cause and effect, maybe not. But bigger picture, Hunter Brown on course to come in at about 200 innings. Uncharted territory for him after each of the last two seasons having established career professional innings highs, right? If the air really comes out of the balloon, well, then all that panic stuff, all right. But the Astros are at the break at 56-40, on pace for 94 wins, better than either of the last two division champions. And given all the injuries, to have a five-game lead into the break, yeah, it was larger as of 4 days ago, but in short stretches, again, stuff happens. The Dodgers had a seven-game losing streak until Saturday. The Red Sox have won 10 in a row into the break. What goes up does come down. What goes down does come up. And over 162 games, it'll all come out in the wash, and we'll see where it adds up.
Yeah, I think with Hunter Brown, it goes back to even that Rockies game, right? Where that he said he kind of curveball wasn't doing what he wanted to in pitching in Colorado, but he went to his other pitches and he was fine. So really, the last three outings have been kind of a challenge for Hunter Brown. He gave up two against the Rockies. It's not bad, but it is the Rockies, and I think they're just kind of they haven't been pitching all that well this last week. I think that's a big part of it right now. They're ninth in OPS right now, but only 15 Yeah, 15th overall in runs. So I think that's what's kind of getting them right now, is that the starting pitching, the bullpen just hasn't been that great this past week. And if you look at Hader, he's given up a home run in three of his last four games. So this is kind of something we saw a few weeks ago. We brought it up, and then he kind of bounced back. And last year we saw it a lot. So when the dominant pitching's not happening, even if you're getting the hits, it's just not working. The way this team's built, the Astros have to, you know, hold teams to a few runs, and they just haven't been doing it lately. But I think they'll get some rest, get some guys back. I think the All-Star break is coming at a perfect time.
You mentioned the lineup. I mean, the anvil factor of guys who are journeyman AAA players, they can have moments in time, and it's really cool when it happens. Zach Short with the winning hit in the extra inning game Saturday, and then providing the Astros only run Sunday with the homer. But as time goes on, the Zach Shorts and Cooper Hummels and Taylor Trammells are going to produce at the level why none of them are 170 or better career hitters, and why two of them at 30 years old are barely major leaguers. I mean, it's not character assassination. It's just reality of who they are. It's definitely a downer that coming out of the break with the lead down to five and the Astros heading to Seattle for three. Hey, good time for the break for the Astros performance, maybe to cool the Mariners after they pasted the Tigers for 37 runs in three games, or 35 runs in three games in Detroit over the weekend. But that the Astros, for that series, they're not going to have Yordan back. They're not going to have Jeremy Pena back. And Jake Myers is ineligible until the Sunday game at the earliest, and I don't think that calf's going to be ready by then. So the Astros are going to have to continue to bubble gum and bailing wire the back end of the lineup.
And another guy who has been the center of attention in the lineup for the wrong reasons, Christian Walker, had that great road trip, goes on paternity leave, and then comes back and carries none of that momentum with him, although he did have the game-tying sacrifice fly Saturday's game. So not all negative, but goes hitless on Sunday's game without getting Pena back in a timely manner. Myers, we don't know. Dana Brown said 3 weeks at least for him. We'll get into the injury updates later. But at some point, you have to think Christian Walker is going to have to come around and produce if this team's going to be able to survive these pitching bumps and also this attrition in the lineup.
Until or unless you get Yordan back as Yordan. Look, Christian Walker sucked. No getting around it. You can spin it. You can sugarcoat it. But at the All-Star break, his OPS is 660. Two seasons ago, Jose Abreu finished at 670. Christian Walker's on pace for 173 strikeouts. The batting average, sub 230. Now, if he can pull it together and hit 280 the rest of the way, the batting average will get close to 250. And that's what he is. He's a 250 hitter for his career. His three real good seasons the last 3 years with the Diamondbacks. He was basically in the range of being a 250 hitter. But the power down, the strikeouts up. He was never a high walk guy, but he was a decent walk taker. That's down as well. And just too many lost, wasted at-bats, whatever you want to call them. The 0-2 parade has continued with Christian Walker. The defense overall has been good, but not enough to carry a bat that you want hitting fourth or fifth every night. He's been a lousy, everyday big leaguer through the first, well, almost exactly 60% of this season.
I think the key, it's really the pitching. They can survive if the hitting's not great. They've lost five of their last six games, right? Over the last 7 days, they're 24th in ERA. Their ERA is over five, whereas they're 20th in runs, 22nd in OPS. A lot of the season, they've been bottom half, bottom third in offense, but the pitching has been what's there, and that's just not there for them right now. And speaking of pitching, what do we do here with Lance McCullers? You're just in a spot where he's either pretty good or he's absolutely horrible, and you have to go to your bullpen so early. Or even if you don't go to your bullpen, it gets so scary that you have somebody up and moving around in the first inning. God, if there was a little more consistency with Lance, it's either six innings and one run or he's given up seven runs in an inning and a third. That's got to be tough for Joe Espada right now.
I mean, Friday night, it took him 83 pitches to get through three crappy innings. So just of its own accord, that blows. And then the taxing it does on your bullpen. Fortunately, Fromber was outstanding again Saturday, dropping his ERA to 2.75, lost the win courtesy of Hader, but Fromber, after one mini dip of a start, was magnificent again. Okay, Hunter Brown, we watch a little bit, but goes to it. I mean, in Seattle, I presume out of the break, it's Fromber Friday, Hunter Brown Saturday. Who do you go with in game three of that series? The Mariners have four studly options, and we'll see how they choose to line it up. If Sunday was a must-win game, who in the hell would trust Lance McCullers? My guess, though, is they'll go with him rather than Brandon Walter or Colt Gordon. Ryan Gusto settle into the guy who comes in the early innings when McCullers can't get you through four innings. So that is a pressing concern, not because they have to win the Seattle series, but as we approach the stretch drive, what will give the rotation some ballast after Fromber and Hunter Brown, presuming they both hold up?
I can tell you right now, I trust Walter Gordon more than I trust McCullers. It just sucks, but that's just where we're at with him. And it's not to say that he won't turn it around and can't, but Josh, you bring up that thing that I bang on every week, which is that Lance McCullers is either giving you a good game, he's getting blown up, or he's hurt. It's a coin flip every time out of just like which Lance McCullers is going to show up. Speaking of injuries and people that are injured, we got some important health updates from Dana Brown on the flagship. First, like we mentioned, Jake Myers will be out at least 3 weeks with that calf strain. Charlie mentioned it, neither Pena nor Yordan will be participating in baseball activities, although Yordan's going to be reevaluated on Thursday, and doctor could potentially clear him to start swinging the bat. Brown said that Yordan has, quote, absolutely no pain in his hand. Yeah, but he's not doing anything. I bet Jake Myers feels fine when he's not walking, right? This is stupid. This is the same thing we heard before he started resuming swinging last time. So interestingly enough, though, he thinks Pena will be the first off the IL, but that he will not be off the IL when they start the Mariner series. So take all that for what it's worth. We know how hit or miss and mainly miss these predictions have been from Brown. On the pitching side of things, Arrigetti could begin a rehab start in a week or so, he says. As we discussed previously, Christian Javier is ahead of Luis Garcia in his rehab. He's throwing 95 miles per hour right now. Garcia's throwing 94. Brown says Javier will help the team this year, but Garcia, quote, it's probably going to take him a little bit longer. I'm open to any reactions you have to those updates, but let's start with pitching first. In what form can you see Javier helping this team this year? And what's your concern level regarding the length and the amount of setbacks from Luis Garcia?
For Garcia, it's been so long now. The fact that they're going to push it to another season, that tells you everything you need to know right there. I mean, it's been over 2 years since he had that surgery. It's good news for Javier. We'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. It seems like his recovery's going too fast. I think the one I'm most encouraged about is Arrigetti, because he's not overcoming nearly as serious of an injury, and he might be back pretty soon. They could really use him right now. So that's the one I'm most excited about. And I'm really wondering if we see a Garcia at all this year, the way Dana is saying that. With Javier, maybe it's around playoff time, but they should learn from these mistakes and make sure that they're not rushing anybody back. They just, you know, screwed up again, we think, with the Jake Myers deal. Reportedly didn't get imaging on him. So be really careful, Christian Javier. You have a lot of money invested in that guy.
I throw in with Josh on Luis Garcia. To me, functionally, his career is over unless he gets back. And if he does and can pitch competently, wonderful. But we're well over 2 years now. Javier, if he gets back, what will be his efficacy? Right? Command has been a question sometimes with him. And the reminder, as incredible as he was the second half of 2022 and in that postseason, he wasn't good in 2023. You know, a full season of pitching with an ERA over 450. And then so his arm falls off early last year, and after being out 14 months or whatever it would be, if he's able to get back in August, that, oh, just insert him and all's well in the world. And who gets dumped from the rotation when Javier is ready? So I think Arrigetti's the best hope there. As long as the grip is all right and so forth, he should be fine, because it's not a structural issue, shoulder, elbow. And he flourished after the All-Star break last season. And let's remember, coming out of the All-Star break, the Astros play 13 days in a row. So they're going to want a six-man rotation, you would think, twice through, because you don't want to overly tax Fromber and Hunter. Are you going to start saying, well, anytime they have 4 days rest, particularly in the case of Hunter Brown, where we're watching the taxi meter, are there still taxi meters? Kind of run on the innings there. But none of these guys are going to be back before August 1st. So among Walter and Gordon and McCullers and Gusto, they're going to have to work their way through for at least these 13 games coming out of the break.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I agree with you, Charlie. I'm concerned that Garcia just may be done. When you look at the number of setbacks and how long it's taken him, that's why I brought it up, because I don't see how you can't bring this up. I mean, I hate to talk about it because it's so negative, but we have to address it. How does Christian Javier leapfrog him in a rehab? It's incredible. And how is you just have this incredible number of setbacks that he's incurred. So it does not look good for him. And you know, when Arrigetti returns, depending on what he looks like, I don't see how he's not your third best option. I mean, obviously Gordon and Walter are sub four ERAs right now, but you can't necessarily rely on those guys. At least Arrigetti's got some experience. He's got a little bit more experience. Hopefully he can come back and be a solid number three option for them. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on our show, contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in our description. What's interesting is, and Charlie, you kind of hinted at this, is that when we look ahead, Houston has another soft stretch of schedule coming out of the break. They face that resurgent Seattle team that you talked about that just dusted the best team in the AL. But then they're at Arizona versus the A's, versus Nationals, at Red Sox, who, as you mentioned, have put together a nice run, and then at Marlins. Now, at the same time, Seattle, after that Houston series, goes versus Brewers, at Angels, at A's, versus Rangers, versus White Sox. So equally kind of a soft schedule. But obviously that first series out of the gate, I think, will kind of set the tone, considering that may either extend or shrink Houston's lead in the division. Do you anticipate Houston being able to take advantage of this stretch of softer games the way we saw them do it pre-All-Star break, given the uncertainty of when guys will be returning and when they get those reinforcements?
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that this is still an above average team. But, you know, two series upcoming with the Red Sox, best team in baseball in the run-up to the break. The Yankees are running out of pitchers, so getting them within this stretch is a good thing. The Marlins have actually played very credible baseball over the last month plus. The overall remaining schedule, the Astros have the second easiest by strength of schedule. If you just add up everyone's record to this point in the season, the Astros have a series with the Atlanta Braves in September. The Braves look like they'll be fully unraveled and have mailed it in. But again, in the short stretch, you know, young guys getting an opportunity to play. You know, if Hunter Brown struggles over a stretch of four or five starts, I would be surprised, short of the Mariners sweeping them this coming weekend, that the Astros still aren't in first place when August 1st gets here. But the Mariners have the wherewithal to make a real push. And let's remember, the Astros banked three out of four over Seattle earlier in the season in the four-game series. So they have the advantage with two series remaining in pursuit of winning that tiebreaker. Should have come down to that in the American League West. They're up, what, 5-2 over Seattle?
For me, I just think they just need to tread water right now while they're waiting to get some guys back. Just do enough to win enough ball games, be scrappy, try and avoid any more sweeps. That would be fantastic. You got to get Pena back. This offense just needs some talent infused into it. There's just too many holes right now. And we see it. And look, the guys that are being called upon are doing the best they can. I'd like to see Bryce Matthews get some more opportunities. I know he didn't look great in his first few at bats, but would have liked to get him, you know, to see in that third game, just get him that experience, see what he can do, let him get accustomed to what big league pitching looks like. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Get Altuve out in the outfield. And the other thing that's hurting him right now, like Cam Smith, I think it's like 0 for his last 10 at bats. So he's really cooled off. So I just kind of balance it out, guys. Use this as a time to regroup, get some guys healthy, and just hope that, man, Yordan's going to be coming back at some point. I know they've done great without Yordan, but they could really use a Yordan about right now.
Yeah, who couldn't?
It's just a mad scramble. I mean, the Astros got to the break only 2.5 behind the Tigers for the best record in the American League. Now, the Mariners have crept a little bit closer. The Toronto Blue Jays are only one game back of the Astros for the second best record and getting to skip the two out of three. The Yankees have been falling off. The Red Sox have been surging. The Rangers taking two out of three over the weekend. It's not like they're in a good position. They're still 8.5 back of the Astros and have to catch multiple teams to climb into the wild card race. The Astros at the break, 6.5 games ahead of missing the playoffs. Right? If Seattle went crazy or the Astros really tapered off and they needed a wild card spot, they're 6.5 games ahead of where they would miss the playoffs entirely. That's a pretty darn good position to be in as of mid-July.
Josh, to your point, it sure seems like they don't trust Matthews at this point. I mean, they pinch hit Cooper Hummel for him on Saturday. Yeah. And then I guess, Charlie, to your point about, you know, the Mariners and Rangers and what would the Rangers would need to do. I'll tell you this. I fear the Rangers a lot more than I fear the Mariners, just because Houston has a much better track record of being able to dispose of the Mariners when they need to versus the Rangers, who Adolis and Semien seem to have Houston's number. Adolis can go 0 for the entire season and come here and hit gigantic home runs.
I'm not sure if this is a word to the wise, but, you know, for all the Astros fans who mock other team fan bases for being stupid enough,
I know where you're going.
Boo and cuss out Altuve and poke the bear. Maybe Astros fans should simmer down a bit when Adolis Garcia comes to the batter's box at Daikin Park.
You know what? And I agree with you, but then I also have to take into consideration that the same fans that are out there booing are the same ones that are doing the wave in a one run game. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's no accounting for who's paying for those tickets, who's going to these games. And so it's hard to really expect them to, I don't know, be rational in those situations. But final thoughts before we're out the door on this episode.
Maybe next time he's here, you give him an ovation. Confuse the hell out of him. Him entirely.
A tribute video.
Hey, 56-40. If we were told at the beginning, here would be Yordan's output and games played. Altuve, a bang up first half of July, but he's still more than 100 OPS points down from where he was 2 years ago. The other injury toll that obviously we cover. I don't think anyone would say, 56-40. I'm feeling menza about that. So 60% down, 40% to go. If you're good enough, you'll get there again for a ninth year in a row. I don't think there's any reason, if you're an Astros fan, to be fatalistic about it. Winning two out of three in Seattle would make things much more comfortable, but we'll see when the weekend rolls around.
Yeah, I'm encouraged looking here. Brian McTaggart tweeted out that this is the most games they've won at the All-Star break since 2022, when they had won 59. They were 59-32. So they won the World Series in 2022. So I think that's a good sign. And it reminds me that last year by this time, the Astros had kind of pulled out of it already. They were at 50-46. So they kind of pulled out of that terrible start by this point in the season last year. So just a little bit of perspective there.
Yes. And keeping on that theme of perspective, I think the same thing. I think it's good opportunity to, especially after these last two series, take a step back, be grateful for what this team has been able to produce to this point. I mean, there's 16 games over 500 going into the break. Obviously, it was really impressive that they were able to hit 20 games over 500 after that road series. This myriad of injuries and Yordan basically giving you nothing this season, and for you to have lost the amount of members of the lineup, starting pitchers, and to be able to be at this point and to have this sort of record at this point in the season, to where really all you have to do is play 500 ball on the back end to be able to, you know, try to coast into a playoff spot. Take a deep breath and enjoy the All-Star game, or pretend it didn't happen, one or the other. But one last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts and apps like Apple or Spotify, please give us a 5-star rating while you're there. Next scheduled episode drops Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed to this channel with those notifications on. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Stone
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.